We're going to be on record. Welcome. Good morning. This is the second day of our business meeting, Judicial Council of California for October 28, 2014. The meeting's now in session. I just remind you briefly of what I said yesterday and always say regarding our meetings are audiocast live, later taped, and then later shown portions of it on our website. So please speak into your microphones, address each other by name as we proceed so people can follow our meetings if they're reading or listening. First on our agenda, we'll hear from the internal committee chairs with their respective judicial council presentations. And I'll start with Policy Coordination and Liaison Committee, PCLC, Judge Kenneth So.
Good morning, everybody. First, I'd like to welcome our two new members, Judge Daniel Buckley and Commissioner David Gunn. Our meetings have not been very hectic since the last council meeting. That's because September 30th closed the 2013-2014 legislative session. Today, however, we're going to begin the big push. We will meet in person, where we will provide an orientation for the new policy committee members, and at this meeting, we're also going to make recommendations for Judicial Council sponsored legislation, which will be presented to the full council at the December meeting. At today's policy committee open meeting, we will consider recommendations for the council's key legislative priorities for the 2015 session, all of which are familiar or continuing legislative priority items focusing on investment in the judicial branch, securing critically needed judgeships, and expanding access to interpreters in civil cases following the Chief Justice's Access 3D framework. In addition, we will review recommended council sponsorship of seven legislative proposals that came up through our advisory committees and public comment process. During the closed portion of our meeting, we will also act on federal legislation related to the Crime Victim Restitution and Court Fee Intercept Act and the California Law Revision Commission tentative recommendations concerning trial court unification. We will continue to bring you updates throughout this legislative session. If anybody wants to talk with us, please contact me. But this concludes our report since the legislature has been in recess. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge So. Next, we'll hear from Executive and Planning Committee, E&P, Justice Douglas Miller.
Thank you, Chief. I have just a few comments. My written report will be posted online for the benefit of our new Judicial Council members and for any newcomers listening to our audiocast. The primary role of the Executive and Planning Committee is to set the agenda for each of our meetings as well as to oversee certain tasks delegated to us by the rest of the Council. The Committee administers the nomination process for vacancies on the Council and its advisory bodies and makes recommendations to the Chief Justice. Each year, the Chief Justice rotates a portion of our members on and off various internal committees so we can add fresh voices into the mix. This month I'd like to welcome our new committee members. San Diego Judge David Rubin is our vice chair. Other members are Second Appellate District Justice Judith Ashman Gerst, Presiding Judge Marla Anderson of Monterey, Presiding Judge Marcia Slough of San Bernardino, Los Angeles Judge James Brandlin, Assistant Presiding Judge Morris Jacobson of Alameda, Assistant Presiding Judge Dean Stout of Inyo, Assistant Presiding Judge Charles Walkup of Placer, Mary Beth Todd, the Sutter Court Executive, and Donna Melby, a partner with Paul Hastings, Janoski, and Walker. Our staff liaison is Administrative Director Martin Hoshino. As one of our committee's duties is to oversee the Judicial Council directives based on the recommendations of the Strategic Evaluation Committee, we will be relying on the expert advice of committee member Judge Walkup, who was the chair of the Strategic Evaluation Committee. We are planning a meeting in February to review the directives that have been accomplished and those to be accomplished in the future. Even though this individual is not on our committee, I would like to welcome Jim Fox. Where is he? Is he not here?
Right here.
I'd like to welcome you back, and we are very, very glad to see you. I know you've been through a tough time, so welcome back, and we're glad you're here. And thank you, Chief. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Justice Miller. Not seeing any hands raised. Next, we'll hear from Rules and Projects Committee, Justice Harry Hull, Jr.
Thank you, Chief. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I would like to welcome the new members to the RuPro Committee, and I must say that we already miss the former members of RuPro, most of whom have been shanghaied by Justice Miller for E&P, but we will miss you in the interim. The Rules and Projects Committee has met four times by telephone since the August 22nd Judicial Council meeting. RuPro met on September 8th to review proposals for new and amended rules and forms. Except for a proposal for technical amendments, all the proposals had circulated for public comment during the spring rules cycle. RuPro recommends approval of these proposals, which are items A1 through A6, A8, A10 through A13, and A15 through A17. RuPro met on September the 12th to consider a proposal that was carried over from the September 8th meeting. The proposal has been postponed until the December council meeting. On October 9, RuPro met for the orientation of new members. I was not able to make that meeting, and I appreciate Judge McCabe standing in to chair the committee for that meeting. It all went very well, as far as I understand. Thank you. RuPro also considered and approved circulation of on a special cycle of one proposal. After further consideration by the advisory committee and RuPro, the item is expected to come before the council at the December business meeting. RuPro also considered technical changes to a proposal that it considered on September the 12th. RuPro recommends approval of this proposal, which is item A9 on the consent agenda. The technical change is deleting references to the term incurable insanity and replacing them with the term, quote, permanent legal incapacity to make decisions, close quote, on the forms for dissolution and separation. In a joint meeting with E&P on October the 9th, RuPro considered public comments on a proposal to amend the rule for the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. RuPro recommends approval of this proposal, which is item A14 on the consent agenda. Chief, that is the RuPro report. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Justice Hull. I don't see any hands raised. Next, we'll call on the chair of the Technology Committee, Judge James Herman.
Chief, thank you very much. I too, would like to welcome the new Technology Committee members, Judge Dan Buckley from Los Angeles County, fresh off of his duties on CTEC, the advisory committee, and also chair of Los Angeles's technology committee. So he's going to be a real asset to our committee. Likewise, Rick Feldstein, CEO from Napa County, another wine-growing region besides Santa Barbara. Rick and I have served on technology committees together, and likewise, he's going to be a great addition to the committee. Of course, welcome back Judge Nadler, Mark Bonino, Judge Diab, my vice chair, and Judge Elias. Since the August council meeting, JCTC has had two open meetings, with one being telephonic and the other in person, as well as one vote by mail, which I'll report on. JCTC members, Judge Dan Buckley, Judge Gary Nadler, Mark Bonino, and Rick Feldstein participated in the demonstration on remote video interpreting by court call in person and remotely on September 22nd. At the September 29th meeting, the JCTC received updates on the budget, impacts to the IMF fund, including work to resolve the shortfall, and to remind the council that the IMF fund, about 40% of that supports technology services for the trial courts, contract staffing in information technology, the V3 interim case management system, statewide data exchange workstream project, and the demonstration on remote video interpreting that I mentioned. The JCTC also reviewed the updated court technology governance and strategic plan after receiving feedback from the Joint Working Group for California's Language Access Plan, and voted to conceptually approve the plan and accompanying report to the council with updates related to language access, and took final action by email. This was the report and plan approved, by the way, by the council yesterday afternoon. On October 2nd, the action by email was posted for public comment, and on October 6th, the JCTC unanimously approved the updated court technology and governance plan, along with the accompanying report to the council. Yesterday morning, the JCTC held a face-to-face meeting. Mark Desmond provided updates on the current and upcoming work and activities of the Information Technology Office. We deferred discussion of the information technology budget to a teleconference that we're going to have sometime in early November. Updates were also provided on the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee recommendation that the Technology Committee develop a plan to eventually eliminate subsidies to courts who are on the V3 case management system and Sustained Justice Edition. Reports were also submitted on future budget change proposals by Kurt Soderlund and two proposed work streams, reports on two proposed work streams, one related to state-level data exchanges and justice partner interfaces, and the other one related to electronic filing services providers. And I just would note that Judge D'Alba and I have met by telephone a number of times since the August meeting with Justice Bernier's chair of CTAC and CTAC's vice chair, and David Yamasaki, CEO of Santa Clara County, on the work stream for justice partner interfaces in order to develop a charge for that work stream, as well as to develop what the outcomes would be of the work stream. Standing up that work stream is in progress. Dave Yamasaki, who will be the under the new governance plan, the executive sponsor of the work stream, has assembled a proposed team of CEOs and CIOs in order to work with us to develop these statewide standards for interfaces. And, Chief, that concludes my report. And if there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Thank you, Judge Herman. I see no hands raised.